Morning for the ones I haven't seen yet. It's good to be able to together look in the continuation of the book of John, Gospel according to John. We are looking as assembly in the whole book. So we are in chapter 7 now. Chapter 7, we're going to start. We're going to read the first half of the chapter from verse 1 to 27. I'm going to invite somebody that have a voice way better than my voice. A brother Adam is going to read it for us from verse 1 to 27 of John 7. I ask him because then he can wake up the ones that are sleeping. Go ahead, Adam, please. Just follow as he read it.
After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee. He was unwilling to walk in Judea because of the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world, for not even his brothers were believing in him." So Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it, that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." Having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as if in secret. So the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, "Where is he?" There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, "He is a good man." Others were saying, "No one in the country. He leads the people astray." Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished, saying, "How has this man become having never been educated?" So Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon who seeks to kill you." Jesus answered them, "I did one deed, and you all marvel. For this reason, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? Look, he is speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they?"
Thank you, brother. Bow your heads, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you have to freely open your word. We ask you to, through the reading and through the knowledge of that our heart be blessed, and you, through the Holy Spirit, bring us the things you want us to listen today. So we thank you for this time. We ask your blessings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, as you can see in the picture, this is a game that everyone already play, right? What is Aldo? I didn't have that in Brazil, but so it is to what's happened in the passage that just were read it. First, the brothers of Jesus wanted him to go to Jerusalem and show himself, because he was doing all those miracles, and they wanted him to go there. And also was a feast of, his translation say booths, but it was a feast of, also feast of tabernacles. That's the name of the feast, two names. So, and Jesus said what? It's not my time. My time is not full coming yet. So he decided to stay, and then later on he goes. Why did he have to go to Jerusalem? I don't want to get into detail yet, but we're going to know soon. So he decided to go later, and then as he was there, kind of in a secret, because he didn't want to show off himself. Not because he was feared the Jew, that's what John bring it, but we know he had no fear of man. No, so it was not his time yet. Just keep that in the back of your mind. And then he decided to go later, and then he's got in discussion with the Jews later on, right? Because they say, one of the things the Jew was looking for, they said, where is Jesus? When they start to hear the murmur that Jesus was there, what did they say? Where is he? Where is Jesus? That's our title for the message today. Where is Jesus? So, and then the discussion he had with the Jews was the law of Moses for the, you know, for the people of Israel, they had to circumcise a newborn male 8 days after the male is born. So, because they want to respect the law, if the 8 day is on Saturday, they will circumcise anyway. So, they are breaking the law. So they are doing a work on the day they're not supposed to do anything. But then, remember when Jesus cured and the paralyzed man at the Bethesda pool? So, what he's talking about, the same miracle. He said, you criticize me, you say I'm not righteous, you want to kill me because I did something good on the Saturday. But yourself break the law if you have to circumcise someone. So they are hypocrites, and they are judging wrong. That's why Jesus said for them. So this is the whole idea of the chapter. I want to bring attention to two things. They ask, where is Jesus? And also, Jesus said that his time was not yet full. So, if you go back, John chapter 5, the first verse said what? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Right? Chapter 6, verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jew, was night. Now, chapter 7, verse 2. Now, the Jew feast of Tabernacles was at hand. I want to briefly, very quick, and for the time we have, what are those feasts about? What is that? Why every chapter, the last three chapters, always something happened, then, and Jesus was there. So that's the idea. I want to just graphically to understand. It is basically seven holidays, seven feasts that the people of Israel was ordained to follow. They are, four of them spring holidays, and three of them fall holidays. So the first one is Passover, the first feast of chapter 5, I could not tell for sure what feast was, but the first chapter 6 says it was the Passover. So if it was the Passover, and the Passover was the first feast, probably was Passover 2 in chapter 5. This is my opinion. But they're too close what happened in both chapters. Then you had the feast of unleavened bread. Then you had the feast of first fruits. Then you have the Pentecost. That feast too is called the Feast of Weeks. If you go to that numbers in the Deuteronomy, said first of first weeks. Sorry, Feast of Weeks. They had three, that is fall holidays, that's the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Tabernacle. This is the one we talk about on chapter 7. Okay? Three of those feasts, the male Jew was required to go where the Lord commanded, and where the Lord dwelt. So the temple was in Jerusalem. Three of those feasts, the Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 16:16. Some words will not come, and just bear with me, okay? The fourth book of the Bible. There we go. It's always a way to say something you want to say. 16:16. Trust me, I practice sometime, but 16:16. Three times in the year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, that's the feast of Pentecost, and in the feast of tabernacle. So Jesus was required to go as a male to go to those feasts. So, please, I'm not an expert, but it is so much of knowledge of Jesus Christ himself in those feasts. I just want to give a little taste. Look for yourself. You'll feel amazed how much of Jesus himself you will observe and enjoy on those feasts, because they are about Jesus Christ. You are giving to the people Israel, but they are about Jesus Christ. And the most interesting thing, Jesus fulfilled the four first feasts. He fulfilled those feasts in the day of their happening. And those three feasts, he will fulfill when in his second coming. He will fulfill. The same way he fulfilled all four. So I'm going to give it, like I said, 20 minutes, a taste what the feast is, and how Jesus fulfilled that feast. So look for yourself. You will be amazed. I'm telling you. Okay, but before I go to that, I just want to say this. Some people believe that you should keep the feast. You should be today, observe the feast. I think that's wrong. The feast was doing for give to the people of Israel. It was a time specific for that, a reason for that. We are not under that same covenant. If you're going to do one thing in the Old Testament, you have to do everything. Right? So, some people believe that you should keep it. But, it is an interesting verse about that. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Colossians 2, open with me, because I want you to see this. Colossians 2, 16 Because of that idea of practicing feasts, Paul, when he writes to Colossians, he say this in verse 16, second Colossians, chapters 2 of Colossians 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holiday, or of the new moon, or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. So why is it important to know a little bit about those feasts? Because they talk about Jesus Christ. So if you're going to approach a mountain and you see a shadow of a mountain, when you see the mountain, you're going to continue to look the shadow? No. Make no sense no more. I already see the mountain. That's what's important. So those feasts are a shadow. So that's why we should know. I believe we should know a little bit about, because John is talking about three of them already, every chapter. So we're gonna dive in this. Hang with me. It's gonna be kind of quick. But I hope, like I said, that you will enjoy. The first feast is the feast of Passover. This is very known to us. We know a lot. Isaac, just to read it all the time, to see all the time, is when the people of Israel left Egypt, they had to, mark the sacrifice a lamb and mark the post. And that name, Passover, coming from what? The fact that the angel is going to pass over the ones that have the mark. So they leave. So when the Jews celebrate the feast of Passover, they are remember that occasion when God passed over their firstborn, and they were saved from that. That because that was the 10th plague, right? So, okay. Now, what is the application for Jesus Christ? What does that have to be? 1 Corinthians 5:7 and Revelation 5:12. He is a Passover lamb. The people of Israel was required to do some things when they come to celebrate the feast. This is what the joy is on the details. What the lamb have to be, why they have to eat different things, and they all have a meaning. And I don't want to, we have to always be careful when you see a type of Christ or a idea of, don't over see things, but some things just jump it. You cannot deny when they talk. So Jesus is our Passover, and he was crucified. This is what is amazing. He was crucified. What day? The feast of Passover. That Friday was the beginning of Passover. So our Passover lamb was crucified. What day? The day of Passover, Jew celebration. Is that coincidence? Is God a God of a coincidence? No. Where is Jesus? They miss it. They miss it. They didn't see it. Okay, we have seven feasts to go. Next one. Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That feast started for the Jew of the day after Passover. Okay? So they're required to eat a bread with no yeast, with no leaven. Because that feast is going to remind them the fact when they left Egypt, they have to go in a hurry. They had no time to prepare or to wait for the dough to grow, right? To make the bread. So they have to make bread without yeast, without leaven. So they call the feast of the unleavened bread. So for 7 days they will eat bread with not leaven. I just noticed that. We talk a lot about the Jesus be our bread, and he the multiplication of the bread, and he fed 5,000. Do you know when he did that? Close to that feast, when he did the miracle of the multiplication of the bread, and he fed 5,000. And what he fed? I'm the bread of life. It was no coincidence, because the bread were in their mind. They were cooking. They are making bread in their house without leaven. So the idea of bread was on their mind. So he didn't say, I am the bread of life. Nothing was coincidental. He said that when was the time of that feast. Because it's Passover, feast of the unleavened bread. It's like one day difference. Okay. So what's the application for us? Jesus lives, when he lives in the, another thing too. sin in the Bible is always a remembrance or symbol of sin. Right? Because sin, just like the yeast, they make things grow and multiply, and you cannot take, another thing about this, if you put in something, you cannot take it out. Right? So it's done. So when Jesus lived in the earth, he lived a sinless life, a perfect life. Guys, there's so many details. I don't want to bring it because I'm going to, but on that feast itself, is so much about the bread, him being the bread, and how that speaks so profound about him. And even little thing about the feast tells they should bring it. Maybe one day, what we're going to do one day, maybe if God will, we're going to just go to one by one, slow down. But I just want to get a word with you today. So, in Hebrews 4:15, and he had a sinless life. And he made the perfect sacrifice because no sin. And Jesus is the bread of life. He said himself, I'm the bread of life. Right? So, now, the third feast. That feast happened Sunday. In the Jewish calendar, civil calendar, holiday calendar, come to Sunday. It's coincidence? What happened Sunday? Resurrection Day. Okay, that feast for the Jews was the day they're going to bring the first grains of the harvest. They're going to bring a portion of a shovel, or I'm not an agricultor man, but they're going to bring a portion of the first harvest. They're going to present to the priest. The priest is going to wave that and going to dedicate that to the Lord. And they come, they celebrate, they get together, they enjoy that time together. And they thank God for the harvest and ask the blessing for the harvest they're going to start, because that's going to start the harvest. Okay. What that means to us? Jesus is the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 5:20. Let's go see that. 1 Corinthians 5. I know someone knows by heart. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become what? The first fruit of them that slept. Was not a coincidence, because that feast was celebrated on Sunday. So for centuries, the people of Israel celebrated that feast on that Sunday, knowing they are talking about something that was revealed to them on that day when Jesus was resurrected. Paul understood. And through the Holy Spirit, he revealed that to us. The Jews miss it. Where is Jesus? They didn't see him. He's the first fruit of righteousness. He's the first one that was brought from that. He was what? Presented to God as the first fruit of the one that's lived. And the same way he was presented to God, now he opened the door for us to be presented to God. So this is the third feast of spring. And then we have one more. The feast of Pentecost. But that actually, I think wrong. It should be called there the feast of weeks. Feast of weeks. Because it had two names. But for the people of Israel, that was most known that as the feast of weeks. Okay, why that is significant? That feast happened 50 days after the first fruit day. You gotta remember, follow me. You gotta Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit. Then 50 days from that one, you're going to have that feast. It's also a feast of harvest, because now you already have almost 2 months of harvest, right? So they're going to bring again, a portion of the first, that harvest, present to God, and they will thank you God for, they will ask God for blessings. Also, coincidentally, is the same day, though that feast, is the feast that people Israel celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments of the law on the Mount Sinai. Okay, so they have two things they celebrate on that day: the harvest and also the law, the giving of the law. What happened that day? We have the word Pentecost, because Pentecost is 50 in Greek. The New Testament was wrote in Greek, so that's 50 is Pentecost. That's the word for 50. The church was established exactly in the day of the Jews were celebrating their harvest. And what happened that day for the believer was the giving of the Holy Spirit. And in that day start the harvest of souls. 3,000, about 3,000 people were converted that day. Exactly that. Coincidentally? No. It was planned. God planned that. And also another thing, the Holy Spirit was given the same day. And what happened that day for the Jews? The giving of the law. That was the beginning of a new covenant. The same day, they were celebrating the old covenant. I have already a little curious to know more about it. I don't have time. You're going to have to look for yourself. Well, maybe one day we can go back. But there's so much that we can look and see. Another thing too, that's amazing. When the law was given, the law was given, what's happened? It was thunder, was a voice. What's happened? The Holy Spirit was done, was given. It was thunder, was different language, was fire. Same thing. God not only does things perfect, but He revealed perfectly for. There was there for them to see. What is Jesus? They didn't see it. Okay. Did the Bible prove us that Jesus fulfilled every one of those feasts in the day of them? Now imagine this. Jesus was a male Jew. And for how his life, he used to go to those feasts. Can you imagine his heart? And they're doing it over. And I like the way the King James, when they're going to start the section, they said, another feast of Jews. Another feast of the Jews. Another feast of the Jews. Another feast of the Jews. Because it was just another one. And his brothers was, it's amazing because they were so close to him. And they miss it. They wanted him to go to the feast to show himself. Actually, just, I can, with my fallible mind, and just imagine Jesus' heart to seduce another feast of the Jews. They're going to do again. They're going to miss again. Now, we go to the three feasts. Remember, it is four feasts on the springtime. Then it's a period, or 3 months. And then the feast of the fall, autumn. Some people say that 3 months represent the time we're living right now, the church time, the time of grace, the time between his first come and his second come. What was done? We just sang, right? What we sang was the last that's so appropriate. Carmen, give it. What's going to happen going to be a sound trumpet. But this is a very interesting feast for the Jews, because in that day, I don't want to get this wrong, because that feast celebrated the new year for the Jew, the beginning, the first day of the first year, the new year for the Jew. But this is interesting on the feast, because the year for the Jew is starting the first moon, full moon of that specific time of the year. Nobody knew exactly what day it was that the calendar is going to start. Nobody have internet, guys, or Google, nothing. They don't know. There was to be a moon. They have to follow to know the year is going to start. So what was the job of the priest? They want a horn. They want a sound with the horn. And then all the ones they are labor for all those months in the harvest, they're going to come. They're going to celebrate. They're going to enjoy now. Because now is the time to rest. We're going to rest. We're going to enjoy now. Because the new year started. It's going to be a time for reflection, time for worship. That sounds familiar? That feast, now we can go through, is the rapture. It's the feast for us believers that represent the rapture. We know it's coming. We know it's going to be a time without day we cannot describe. But we don't know what day. But we know it's coming. What's going to happen that day? Sound of a trumpet will be coming. They used to just abandon everything and go to the feast. I'll be working so hard, let's go just relax. What's going to happen? We're going to rest. It's going to be a time for cut up. We're going to be a time to the things we long to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be a sound, a trumpet. We don't have to go there for time, but we know that the ones that are there, we're going to be from the first, and then we are the ones, their life are going to be cut up to Jesus. So that feast represents the same things for the Jew. They represent was a time of joy, time of relax. For us, that represents our time, the feast, rapture. Having come again, that's why Jesus didn't fulfill when he was there. That was the feast. So the second, now, this is the first one in the autumn part. Now, that Day of Atonement. For the Jew, there was a fearful day. And that day happened 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets. And also, with the Feast of Trumpets, the Jews prepared themselves for that day. They started to prepare themselves for that day, the Day of Atonement. That's the day, the only day of the year that the priest is going to go to. Are you awake? Holy Holies. You're going to go to the Holy Holies. And he will present what? Atonement to the people. What the word atonement means? He's going to make a reparation. Repair. Atonement something. Fix it. Got to make it right. So on that day, the priest, one time of the year, he's going to present. It's so many details that speak so much about Jesus on that sacrifice. He's going to sacrifice a lamb. He's two goats. He's going to sacrifice one, let it one goes. So unfortunately, I don't have time to go there. But that's the day they celebrate. Just keep that in mind. So what is that? That day for us as believers speak about the judgment to come. Remember, we already the first one is what? The rapture. We are already with Jesus. The church is already with Jesus in heaven. Now when he comes again, it's gonna be a time of what? Judgment. So just because the same thing for the Israelites was a time of judgment, because God is going to judge the people. But because the priest is going to present the sacrifice, they're going to be saved from that judgment. So, but when he comes, when Jesus comes the second time, he'll come, and what's going to happen on that day? The same way that the Jews realized that sacrifice was during their behavior, they're going to see the Messiah. But then let's go read it. Romans 11. Let's go to Romans 11 and 25. We have a little bit. I ask you guys just for another 5 minutes if you can, for us to just finish it up. So, Romans 11. And 25. Okay, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest there should be the wise in your own conceived, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come unto the Zion the delivered, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, Zechariah 12 and 10. Zechariah 12 and 10. We know this 12 and 10. We heard the verse many times. And I will pour up the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. All they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Israel, people of Israel, will look to Jesus and realize that was the one they missed, the one that did not understood that he was the Messiah, and he was, but he's going to come again, not as a lamb, but as a king, to show that to them. So they were celebrating that feast, look to that lamb, but without know the deeper meaning of that. And now we're going to the last feast of the tabernacle. That's the feast where Jesus supposed to go with his, on the feast, it's a very familiar, it's a very joyful time, because you remember, guys, what's going to happen? It's going to be the rapture, then it's going to be the judgment, and what's going to happen after? The millennium. So that feast for the Jew was a time of enjoyment, and they lived in tent. They build on their yard or outside their house. They still do it till today. Actually, this picture is kind of important because we got jeans pants there. So this is, they still do it, and the kids love it because it's gonna be like a camp. They're gonna live outside the house for 7 days. They're gonna cook, they're gonna sleep, they're gonna eat on that tent, and they're gonna enjoy the time because that was the ordinance. And that feast, remember the people of Israel, the fact that for 40 years what they did, they live in tents, they live in the desert, and God provided to them. So there's a celebration of that fact that God had given them that enjoyment, even when they were in the desert. What else? The tent had to be built that way, and with the leaves, so there was a specific way to build too. Yeah, go ahead. So, the Feast of Tabernacle points to the Lord's promise that he will once again tabernacle. What does the word tabernacle mean? dwell. So what's going to happen in on the millennium? Jesus will dwell among the people. It is interesting in that Zechariah's tell from that verse, 14:16, tell that the whole world will come to Jerusalem. So it's going to be a piece of time of peace and enjoyment for the people. The whole, not only the nation of Israel, but the whole. Because who is going to be in control of everything? Jesus. He will control. He will govern over the whole world. Jesus said, my time is not yet come. My time was not yet full come. That feast didn't mean nothing to him yet. Because it was not his time yet. It was not his time to show off and be the talk of the town, to be the one everybody's going to be looking for. The Passover had not happened yet. All the things have to be happened yet for him to be what? Glorified. To be the center of everything. Before him, the millennium will be the cross for him. So the sequence of the feast is tremendous because tell exactly what. And I can just imagine his heart in that feast. See what that feast really means and how far the people of Israel was from it. Why did they miss the point? Why did they see Jesus? Because they were just like the law of Moses. They are so commanded to follow. They miss the point. They worry about the shadow. That's what they thought. They still seeing the shadow. What is the application for us, brothers and sisters? We can sometimes, God forbid, do the same thing. Do things just because we'll be told to. Or do things because that's the way we always do. Jesus looked at the heart, our heart. And because he looked at the heart, he knows us. He knows the intention of our heart. Just like the people of Israel, they missed the point. They miss it. They're still doing the feast today. And the same way, that's a good affirmation of Jesus' sovereignty and power. The same way he fulfilled those feasts on the past, he will fulfill those three feasts too. For many, it will be too late. The people of Israel are going to have the second chance. I don't know. We're going to be already glory, guys. We're just going to be reigning with him. That happened before, right? Rapture and then with him. So, but that's the lesson. If you can take some today for home. If you miss everything, I understand. But just this, the same way that the Jews miss the point. They're still looking. Where is Jesus? Some of them in the end say, well, when he comes, nobody's going to know. That was not the truth. He had revealed. Why the Magi, they follow and they came to Jerusalem looking for the Messiah. Why? Because they knew, they heard it, they read it, the whole prophecies. They're looking for it. So it was no excuses. They had no excuses. They were not looking. They were doing things with emotion. Just another feast. Another time. So may God help us as a follower of Jesus Christ to do two things. No religious things. Religious doing things just because as a repetition, because with somebody else say, or because, well, it looks good. But knowing why we do what we do. Why we meet the way we meet. Why we come to the break of bread. I'm so glad we don't have to do all those feasts no more. Imagine, guys. But for the believer, we can come. And just celebrate. Be together. That's the only thing he told us to do, to come. Come together. Meet. And when we meet, what do you do? Break bread. Remember me. That he is our Passover. Bread of life. Are we ready for the trumpet? Every one of them. So just take that with you. And if you can, I will not promise, but if you have opportunity to look to those faces more detail, But I wanted to just, because I haven't spent time yet. But because those feasts were so, why John keep talking about those feasts? So let's go see what this is about. So maybe that's giving you a taste of what you can find too for yourself.